We're beginning our series on the appearance of Lord Krishna. So, special classes all the way up to Janmashtami, of course, and we'll have with us His Holiness Bhakti Chiruswami for the Janmashtami event. So, we'll look forward to that as well. Today also marks the departure of Srila Prabhupada for America. So we celebrate that day as well. So we'll speak something on that as well. So we're reading from the 10th canto, first chapter. And the text we'll look at today is text 3. Translation. The Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of the of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Kritavanyani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sukadev Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambrajit Bhagavatam 12.351. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upade, CC Madhya 7.128. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavindaki. So asking for all the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Mother Ashtashaki, who's here with us as well, I can say something. And also to welcome Shri Rangapriya, who's sitting at the back there. Rangapriya Prabhu is with us as well. Srila Prabhupada went to his house when he was a young boy, and he made his father a life member in Edgware in 1976. So Prabhupada personally came and he spoke to him, and he's been with us since then, since that time. So welcome. He's also Dr. Rangapriya. He's academic. He teaches, he's the head of philosophy, religion, and ethics at the Avanti schools as well. So today we mark the disappearance day. We mark the day when Prabhupada departed from America. And which year was that? 1965. Who remembers 1965 here? You may not have been around. Jai Davis put his hand up. And Sachi's put two hands up. She remembers 65. You remember 65. We all remember 19. You may not have been around, or you may have been very young. But some notable things in 1965 was that in the motorways came into their own, and they introduced the 70 miles per hour speed limit on the motorways. So that was in 1965, just as a thought. Somebody very famous passed away at the age of 90. So Winston Churchill, he passed away in 1965. Somebody became, he called himself, I am the greatest. That's a clue for all of you. Muhammad Ali, he became the boxing champion, the strongest man in the world. And there was a big movie that year. Not that any of you go to see the movies, but there was a big movie in 1965. What could that have been? And you remember, biggest hit that year was it was the movie was Help the Beatles. And that brings me to Prabhupada again. Because the Beatles were shouting out, help! Prabhupada departed from the famous Kiddipur docks in Calcutta to that yearning of help that he came. He said, yes, I will come. And of course, they inquire further from that to Prabhupada. How can you help us in the future? So that was an interesting way to remember it. Interesting way for all of us to remember 1965 and what Prabhupada did in that, at that time. He traveled, of course, he was the only passenger on the cargo ship, the Jaladuta, at that time. What did he have in his possessions? Suitcase, an umbrella, a bag of cereal, box of books, and $7 worth of American currency. The rupees were equivalent to $7. You know, you can't do much with $7. How long did it take him to get to America? The Lilamrita says 37 days later, the Jaladuta arrived in New York. So the journey was 37 days on a cargo ship. And you know, he was utterly alone. No money, no friends, as you know. But what did he have? That one thing, immense faith in Krishna. That immense faith. Bhakti Chiru Swami was once asking in a class, he said, do you understand what Srila Prabhupada has done for you? And everyone said, yes. And then he said, you don't understand. He said, when you get to 70, and then you yourself decide to go on a cargo ship for 37 days, and cargo ships were cargo ships, they're not what they are now. He said, and then you have 3 heart attacks. And then you get off at Boston Harbor, and you don't go and see a cardiologist, but you go preaching. He said, then you realize what he has done for you. So that's a great meditation for us as well. That, you know, whenever we get a slight pain or a slight something, we are off to the doctor, isn't it? Prabhupada had 3 heart attacks. He just walked off the ship. He went straight preaching. He didn't think of anything else. Sutta Prabhu was reminding us on Sunday of how Prabhupada, before leaving, had gone to Shantipur and he'd gone to Advaitacharya's house. Everyone's been to Shantipur here? Shantipur, you very, very beautiful place. You go and it's Advaitacharya's house. This is where he prayed for Lord Chaitanya to descend. And him and Haridas Thakur, they both sat there near the Ganga and they requested Krishna to come. In the form of Chaitanya. So anyway, Prabhupada had gone there, and his godbrothers were all there. And Prabhupada said, they said, Swamiji, you're going to America. You're going to the West. And he said, no, I'm not going. He said, the Bhagavatam is going to the West. But because it cannot travel alone, I am traveling with the Bhagavatam as a servant. The words of Sutapa from Sunday, really. And, you know, what did he have? 3 volumes of the Bhagavatam with him. That's what he carried. So it's a good thought for all of us on this occasion to repay that debt. And speaking of Prabhupada carrying the Bhagavatam. Of course, this is the Bhagavatam, and we're reading from it today. And today's verse, we can look further into today's verse and look at the appearance of Lord Krishna on this occasion. These are wonderful verses that we can look at. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he gave purports to the first 14 chapters of the 10th canto. And then, of course, Ridananda Maharaj, he gives the rest of the purports after that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written a commentary, and Bhanu Swami, he has translated that. It's called Sartha Darshani, on the 10th canto. And that summarizes all of these things. So what Prabhupada had done was that he had taken points from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he'd put them into a form which was understandable for all the people of the age of Kali. Because how can you understand the 10th canto? If you just look at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, it's impossible. So he had to do that. When Prabhupada was translating, he was looking at the commentaries of all the acharyas, not just one. So what he did was that he took all the works of the previous acharyas, and he gave it to us in the form of baby food, which means easily digestible. That's what baby food is. It's easily digestible. That's what it is. Whatever it is, it's just easily digestible. So Prabhupada did the same. He took all the commentaries and he gave it to us in that form that we can easily digest it. So the 10th canto is the lotus face of Krishna, as we know. And the Bhagavatam is compared to a delicious cake like we had, the Balaram cake yesterday. Hopefully you got some. So it's a delicious cake. So it's a cake is sweet wherever you bite it. Isn't it? Yeah, all the children are here. Wherever you bite the cake, it's sweet. What do you think? Mmm, yum. But you know, the 10th canto is a different type of cake. That it's even sweeter than the rest of the cake. Even sweeter than the rest of the cake. So it's an interesting principle. There was a Christian theologian who spoke about an interesting principle. He said, generally, the memory of a person or memory of society cannot last more than 2,000 years. So he said, what happens is that after 2,000 years, the existence or the reality of a person, people will doubt tremendously. Of course, he was speaking about Christ. He said, after 2,000 years, no one will believe that Christ actually appeared or he was with us, because after 2,000 years, no one will accept something. So the interesting principle he speaks on. So it's the same. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. What to speak of 2,000 years? And isn't it when we speak about to people that Krishna appeared 5,000, they think it's some kind of a myth. You sure you guys are all right? What are you on? Someone appeared 5,000 years ago? That's not history. We can't believe that. And it was interesting because when the British sheet, they had Indologists look at the Vedic scriptures, the word history is itihas. And they had the Indologists translate it differently. And Charles Wilkins was the first of the Indologists who translated. He learned Sanskrit very clearly. And they made sure that itihas was translated as mythology. So everyone remembers mythology. So it's a standard word that's used. So mythology brings images of the mythology of Krishna. So it's a myth. It didn't really exist. 2,000 years on. Of course, 5,000 years. How do we do it? So the first chapters are in this book. Anyone remember? What's the first chapter called? I just said it. The first chapter in the 10th canto is the advent of Lord Krishna. The second one? Yeah, the prayers that the demigods are offering prayers in the womb. Third one, the actual one we're concerned about, the birth of Krishna. And the next one after that, anyone remember? I wouldn't either, I just looked it up, but I was reading it. Atrocities by Kamsa. So if you look at these four chapters, from the advent of Lord Krishna to atrocities by Kamsa, they sum up the story of our life. If you browse through them, they really are that somehow or the other we became connected to the movement. We started chanting Hare Krishna. We were seeking relief, and we were trying to get away from misery. But you know, I think whether you're one day in Krishna consciousness or 60 years in Krishna consciousness, I think you'll find that problems will always remain. Problems will always remain. And it's there, when I was reading this morning, just flicking through the pages there, that before Krishna appeared, Mother Earth, she was very anxious. So before Krishna appeared, there was great anxiety. And what happens when Krishna does appear? The residents of Vrindavan, they're in great anxiety, because there are demons coming every day. So it seems like before he appeared, there was anxiety. You know, we thought after he appears, there'll be no, but no, there's anxiety. So I thought that, I think the principle is, the main thing is not to become free from problems or anxiety. But the main thing is to increase our remembrance of Krishna during all of those problems. And that is Krishna consciousness. That can we remember Krishna during the times of our anxiety? And we have a great example that how to remember Krishna. At the end of this life, we have Mother Kalangana all the way, just in the cottage, remembering Krishna, sharp, crystal clear consciousness, remembering Krishna. So that's where we want to be at the end of this life. Krishna in the Gita, he mentions that four types of people come to him. Chaturvidha bhajante imam, jana sukritino arjuna. Artha, Jignashu, Artha, Arthi, and Jnani. So four types of people come to him. So Artha is the distressed. Jignashu are the inquisitive. Artha, Arthi, the people who want something from him. And Jnani, someone who's actually looking for Krishna. There was a class by one Prabhupada disciple, and he was saying, actually, in the age of Kali, I don't think you've got these four. Artha, Jignashu, Artha, Arthi, and Jnani. He said, what you have, I think, is Artha, 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 and Artha. Not Bhakta Artha, but distressed, more distressed, even more distressed, and the most distressed. It's life, and because of that we come to Krishna consciousness in one way or the other. So I thought that was an interesting thought that we can think on this occasion. So here in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is obviously speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit is requesting Sukadeva Goswami to speak the 10th canto. And he gives four reasons if you read the verses which follow from here, from the verse that I just read. He gives four reasons why he wanted to hear Krishna Katha. He wanted to hear about Krishna. First reason he gives is he says that Krishna is the object of my love. That's why I want to hear about him. Krishna is the object of my love. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam, Jo Vidadati Kaman. We are all dependent, Bahu, on the Eka, the One. So he's saying, he's the object of my love. I want to hear about him. And then, of course, the next reason he gives why I want to hear about Krishna, the famous verse, text 4. And you remember that one? Next one. This is text 3, next 4, and very famous. Yes. Nivrittater Upagiyamanan. Famous verse. Bhavo Ashodhi, which means Krishna Katha is the supreme medicine. That's why he wanted to hear. He said, I want to hear about Krishna and Krishna Katha. Why? Because it's the supreme medicine. And Parikshit Maharaj, he compares Sukadev Goswami to the great physician, the great doctor. He says, you've come with the great medicine to cure us of all the diseases. And that medicine is Krishna Katha, he says. So this famous verse, I'll read you the translation of that verse. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false, temporary glorification of the cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul, undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher, one who is killing his own self? So he says, this is amazing. I want to hear Krishna Katha because I know it's the ultimate medicine. But you know what? What's the argument people will give us? How's Krishna consciousness helping society, isn't it? What's your real welfare work? What are you doing? This can't be the real welfare work. It must be something else. You've got to have some other item which is the real welfare work. So in the purport here, long purport, Prabhupada is 8 pages purport here. He mentions that Krishna Katha has 3 effects. Why it is the ultimate in welfare work. He says, firstly, it quenches the sensual thirst. Secondly, it cures the disease of the ego. And thirdly, it satisfies the agitation of the mind. So on all the levels, senses, mind, ego, Krishna Katha cures. Third reason Parikshit wanted to hear Krishna Katha, he says, Krishna is my protector. If you look at it, he says that first, you protected my forefather. And these are the verses that follow after this. And he describes that Bhishma Dev, he was like a timingala fish. Timingala fish, like huge fish, which can swallow hundreds of whales in one go. But you can imagine where they are and what they can do. So he says, Bhishma, he was a timingala fish, but still you protected my forefathers, the Pandavas. Then he said, secondly, you protected my mother, Uttara, from the Brahmashtra. And thirdly, you protected me. I saw you for a glimpse, I saw you for a moment. And since then, till this moment now, when I'm leaving this world, I have been doing what? What my name has been telling me. Pariksha. I've been searching. I've been searching. That's why my name is Parikshit. I've been looking for you. I had that one glimpse of you, so I've become the examiner. I've been examining everything to see where can I find you? Where can I find you? So Krishna, he is the protector. in this regard it mentioned here. And fourthly, he says Krishna is the bestower of all types of liberation for all living entities. That's why I want to hear about Krishna. And he mentions in that, he says that for those who are envious, Krishna, he appears as death. For those who are near and dear, Krishna, he gives eternal life. For those who are devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki, he gives eternal bliss. And he says, for those that are demons like Kamsa, he appears to them in the form of time and he destroys them. So the whole appearance of Lord Krishna here carries onto the principle of Vasudeva, protecting Devaki. And I'm sure the devotees over the next few days will discuss many things. So I thought we'd just very quickly today look at Vasudeva. And one of the names that is given in Sanskrit to Vasudeva is Mahabhaga. Might remember that, a great soul. Anyone remember why he's given the name Mahabhaga? One is that he was trying to pacify Kamsa. That's one thing. But that still doesn't make you Mahabhaga. What makes you Mahabhaga? Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki. The definition of a great soul is that he's able to pacify the most cruel-hearted man. And suppose he could not pacify that cruel-hearted man from performing atrocious acts, he then has the power to forgive that person as well. That's called Mahabhaga. Because, you know, we can try and stop people from doing atrocious acts, but can you forgive them? So that's called Mahabhaga. Vasudeva was that person because, you know, six of his children were killed. But still, he had it in his heart to forgive. So that's an interesting definition of Mahabhaga. Beyond me, what to speak of other people? How can we get to that level? But that was Vasudeva. And in trying to stop Kamsa from attacking Devaki, when the Akashvani, when the voice was heard, he uses four different things to stop Kamsa from killing Devaki. They are as follows: diplomacy, logic, philosophy, and then he realizes nothing's working, so he goes back to diplomacy again. So that's interesting, four different things that he uses to stop Kamsa from attacking Devaki. First of all, he begins with diplomacy. So Vasudeva is dealing with Kamsa, and Kamsa is not ready for a Bhagavatam lecture yet. So the steps that Vasudeva takes are known as Sama and Beda. Sama means he pacifies him. And Beda means that he sows doubts of fear within him after that. So diplomacy is something, if you remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, kuti nati, we should not be diplomatic. But then he goes on to say that the first principle of a Vaishnava is sharalta, which means that he is simple. There's no duplicity, no diplomacy. But then he goes on to say, but when it comes to Krishna's interest, then it is fine. Bhaktisiddhanta said, when it is in the interest of Krishna, then this is fine. We should do this, he says. And then he goes on to sow some seeds of fear. And he glorifies him. He says, you're a divine person. And then he says, you're going to kill your sister. That's fine. You're a powerful person. Why would you want to do that? People will look at your character and think badly of you. So he sows those seeds of doubt in him. And he says, actually, your sister is a lady. You should spare the life of ladies. This is very good. History will commend you for this act. That doesn't work. So then he goes on to logic. And that is that he notices, he says, the logic he uses is that he said, my dear Kamsa, you are afraid of death because you're thinking the eighth child will kill you, isn't it? Every time he would think of the number eight, Kamsa was walking up his palace, and when he would come to the eighth step, he would immediately become frightened. He'd be counting one, two, and eighth step. He'd be thinking, how Krishna conscious he was, imagine. We think of Kamsa in one way, but is another way. And he's walking the steps, he's thinking one, two, three. Generally we walk, we don't think of the number of steps. So he comes to the eight steps, he's very frightened. So he says, my dear Kamsa, you're afraid of death, but death is going to come anyway. Jatasihi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. If you're born, death is certain. So why are you afraid? You cannot avoid death. So he's trying to put the logic into him. And he says, the Akashvani says the eighth child, but who knows? Could be the first child. You could live for 100 years. So he uses logic. And he says, death is very unpredictable thing. So you may live for 100 years. So why are you worried? So, of course, the logic doesn't go in either to Kamsa. So then he uses philosophy. He says, beyond logic, he goes to philosophy. He explains the law of karma to him. He says, you're going to kill your sister. You will accrue sinful reactions. So death will come to you anyway. Why do you want this extra sinful reactions? So he uses philosophy to him now. And if you don't kill your sister, in the next life, you will be able to enjoy. So why do you want to kill her? So he's trying to use philosophy. And then when he doesn't get that, Vasudeva, he uses two examples at that time. Anyone remember those examples? He uses the example of a person walking. He says, just like a person who's walking, and before he puts one foot before the other, he makes sure that there's enough support. So he says, similarly, the soul, it takes shelter of the next body before leaving this body. Transmigration. And then when he doesn't understand that, then he uses the example of the caterpillar. He says, just like a caterpillar goes from one leaf to the next leaf. He says, you will have to travel from one body to the next body. So he doesn't get that either. So then, finally, he comes back to diplomacy again. So, you know, he started with diplomacy, and this is all exaggerated glorification. So he began by saying, you are most glorious. And now he ends by he saying, you're the most compassionate. So he uses diplomacy in that way. He glorifies him. Didn't work. Gets to logic. Didn't work. Gets to philosophy. Thinks, well, let me just say you're the most compassionate now. And you should just be compassionate. So these are all the different stages which are described in the 10th canto. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks on this a bit more elaborately as well. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Devaki represents our devotional service. And Kamsa, he has come to cut off the head of our devotional service. Confirmed. So, just like Vasudev, he says, you have to do everything within your power, otherwise your devotion to Krishna will be cut away. Cut away. So he gives that analogy, that you have to do anything to protect your devotional service. Otherwise the Kamsa-like influences of this world will destroy it. Will destroy it. So you can use these four steps, or anything in your power, like Vasudev did, to defend Devaki, because that is your bhakti lata bij. And Vasudev was not giving up under any circumstance. So that's an interesting thought for all of us, that next time the material energy does come, we can, in one way or the other, try and defend ourselves, whatever it takes. Krishna, he appears at midnight in the pastime. He comes at midnight. So some thoughts on the birth of Krishna. Five thoughts I had on the birth of Krishna. There were different thoughts on Saturday, but they're different now. The first thought is that Krishna, he appears at midnight. So why is it midnight? Because it's the darkest time of the night. And after midnight, it becomes light again. So Krishna, he appears at midnight because that's the darkest hour of your life. So he appears to illuminate that darkness. So that's one thought at midnight you can have. And he came because that's the darkest hour of my life. So whenever there is a darker moment, Krishna will appear. There were also huge storms. There was torrential rain during the birth of Krishna when he appeared. As you know, when he was being carried across to Gokul, there was torrential rain. So Krishna, he comes to give us shelter from the torrential rain of misery that storms our lives unexpectedly. So Krishna, he comes to give us shelter from the torrential rain of misery that storms our lives unexpectedly. Thirdly, Krishna was born in a prison cell. And of course, Shamsundar, he tells that famous story whereby he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I have to go to jail. And he said to Prabhupada, said, why? He said, well, he said, I was selling drugs before. So Prabhupada said, yes, I was also selling drugs. I was a compound chemist. And then he said, well, Prabhupada, but I will now have to go to jail. And Prabhupada said, what is the problem? He said, Krishna, he was born in a jail. So I was thinking a little different from jail, because Krishna, he, his birth in the prison cell signifies his compassion to free us from the cycle of birth and death. You know, at midnight, all the shackles of Vasudev and Devaki, they just freed. The guards, they fell asleep. So Krishna, when he appears in our life, he will free us, and the material energy will go to sleep at that stage. So that was a thought that we can have. That at midnight he appears in that cell to free us. He also appeared in the city of Mathura, because the Mathura was the capital of Kamsa. So that was the most cruel of all cities at that time, because he was the king of the demons at that time, the abode of evil. But Krishna appears there. Why? To release us from all the negativities that fill our hearts, the Kamsa-like heart that we may have. So he appears in Mathura to release us from all of those bad, negative thoughts that we may have. And last but not least, Krishna, he appears wherever his holy name is. Wherever his holy name is. So, when we chant Krishna, Hare Krishna, we can take shelter of him And the darkness of midnight will disappear when we chant the holy name. When we chant the holy name, we'll experience the shelter from the stormy material world. When we chant the holy name, we'll experience freedom from the shackles of the anxieties that are surrounding us every day. Just by the holy name, we can have all of that. So that's another way to look at the birth of Krishna as well. Just ending on a note here. And Brahma, of course, if you keep reading, Brahma, he goes to the ocean, shore of the ocean, milk ocean, and he, with the demigods, they're all praying for Krishna to appear. And there's an interesting way how Krishna hears from Vishnu. The demigods don't hear him, but Brahma hears him. And then he repeats it to the demigods, and he says that all of you, you should take birth in the Yadu dynasty. You should take birth in Vrindavan. You should all do this. So he instructs all of them to do that. But he himself doesn't take birth. He himself doesn't take birth. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, interestingly, he says, this was the beginning of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, where he becomes baffled. Brahma Vimohan Leela. You know, he the calves and the cows, and he becomes bewildered by that. And so it's interesting that he says that it began here, because he himself told everyone else, you go and do the work, but I won't, because I'm in charge. It's an interesting principle that's being spoken of. And therefore, when opportunity knocks on our door, we complain, oh, too much service, especially this time of the year. Too much service. And opportunities, they come and they go. So they, if we miss that opportunity, we'll regret it. And Brahmaji here, later on, he points out that he lost the opportunity to serve. And he regretted it. Devotional service begins when we move out of our comfort zone. Otherwise, just like Brahma, he regretted it. I should have really taken that opportunity. Because now he says to Krishna, he says, I want to take birth. I want to take birth as a straw, as one of the residents, anything. But I should have really taken it before. Then I wouldn't have become bewildered at all. So that's an interesting point. One disciple of Prabhupada, he was thinking the same. He thought, sometimes instead of serving Krishna, we try to enjoy Krishna. So he always noticed that Prabhupada used to have a white suitcase, and he wanted that suitcase. So what he did was that Prabhupada wouldn't give away that white suitcase. So he bought a brand new big suitcase for Prabhupada. And he gave it to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, this is a brand new suitcase. And Prabhupada looked at it and he said, this is really nice, he said. This is very good. I will take this suitcase. So he thought, right, next will be, here's my old suitcase, as Prabhupada would always do, you please take it. So Prabhupada then took his white suitcase, and the devotees were excited. He thought, now I will get that white suitcase. And everyone was after that white suitcase, because Prabhupada traveled the world with it. So Prabhupada took that white suitcase, opened the big one, and he put it inside that big one. He locked it. He lifted it. There was a mirror in front in that room, and Prabhupada said, how do I look? So this devotee, Australian devotee, was telling this story in Mayapur. He said, sometimes we try to enjoy the spiritual master instead of serving him. And similarly, sometimes we may try to enjoy Krishna instead of serving him. So we can look at that opportunity, Brahma Vimohan Leela, and think, okay, Brahma, he said, I pray to you, Krishna, I regret that I did not take birth along with all the other devatas. And I regret now, I got bewildered into thinking I am Brahma, I am so powerful. So he's now requesting, can I be born in some family, in some as some animal, whatever. Let me be born so that I can smell the fragrance, the aroma from the dust of your lotus feet. So Brahma is realizing his fault at that part. Imagine the greatest of the demigods can be bewildered by it. So we also, when we delegate things, we should also think how we're also part of the whole thing as well. Not just delegating things like Brahma just delegated, you all get on with it. But he then took it easy. Propensity of ours to not serve. So interesting lesson from Brahma as well there that we can have. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanande. Any comments from anyone?